Are natural disasters an act of God? Passing the blame. We all need a spouse, as there are many things that we cannot blame on the government. So depending on our maturity, we seek to exonerate ourselves and pin the blame on something or someone else. When a natural disaster happens, we like to point the finger at God and say, "Why does God allow this?" But is it God, who as a sadistic monster is eager to be the cause of these natural disasters? Or is it the result of some other cause, a bit closer to home? As humans, we like to point the finger, but three fingers point back at the one who is pointing the finger. Blaming others for your own misfortunes, whether it is another person or an external circumstance, is an easy way to outsource unwanted responsibility. People tend to play the blame game when they can't see a better solution to their problem or they can't handle a personal distressing situation. It is difficult to see the whys and wherefores of the natural disasters from our four-dimensional parameters. All we can see is the damage and human suffering. As bystanders, it hurts to see people getting hurt, so it must hurt God, who originally made the world perfect, without pain or death or sickness or disasters. Richard Conhenry, professor of physics and astronomy at the Johns Hopkins University, states, "Quantum physics teaches us how the world is made up out of energy, and matter does not really exist. Get over it and accept the inarguable conclusion that we are really beings of energy and vibration, radiating our own unique energy signature. This is fact, and is what quantum physics has shown us time and time again. We are much more than we perceive ourselves to be." Scientists began to recognize that everything in the universe is made out of energy. Atoms are made out of invisible energy, not tangible matter. The revelation that the universe is not an assembly of physical parts suggested by the Newtonian physics, and instead comes from a holistic entanglement of immaterial energy waves, stems from the work of Nobel Prize winners like Albert Einstein, Max Planck, Werner Heisenberg, and Niels Bohr, among others. If quantum physics has not profoundly shocked you, then you have not understood it yet, says Niels Bohr. A limited knowledge of quantum physics clarifies that our energy vibrates throughout the universe. If we make bad and negative decisions, we vibrate and send negative energy into the universe. Much like when a frequency reaches a certain height, it shatters the glass. So our negative frequencies, when they reach a certain height in the universe, can have a damaging effect on the Earth, as these damaging frequencies originate from our decisions here on Earth. Our negative vibration and energy accumulates until it has built to the height where it is the straw that breaks the camel's back, or the drop that makes the bucket overflow, just like the glass shatters at a certain point. If we as a world population send negative, harmful, destructive energy and vibrations by our wrong motives and selfish decisions into the universe, then according to the universal law of action and reaction and the cause and effect equation, we will eventually reap what we have sown, the damaging outcome. We ourselves could very well be the cause of the natural disasters. We have two kinds of natural disasters. The one kind is because of our spiritual negative decisions, which have an immediate impact on our spiritual life but don't have an immediate impact on the environment until it reaches collectively a certain height. And then we have the physical disastrous decisions, which have a visible impact on our natural world. We have carbon emissions, deforestations, nuclear waste, plastic waste, etc., etc. Alas, these are the only decisions that we as a population seek to put a halt to and demonstrate against, as we are concerned for the future and the future of our children. But what do we ignore? However, we choose to ignore the three fingers pointing back to our spiritual life and do not seek to put a halt to our spiritual destructive decisions.
Well, if God is almighty, can he not control it?
He did control it in the Garden of Eden, but man desired more and wanted to know good and evil, as they were tired of just the good. So they wanted to get deceived, as they wanted to know not only the good, but also the evil. And as we can see, our desire to know evil is taking over the world. We ignored his Ten Commandments and sidelined his words of advice in the Bible. Then he sent us his Son to teach us how to live. Our yes should be yes, no should be no, how to love each other, give to the poor, etc. With his life, he set the example how to change our ways of selfishness. And he was so serious about it that he was willing to give his life for this. However, it also came with a warning for those not willing to change their ways. Much like, I told you so, when you touch the heater, you will hurt yourself. When Jesus was approached about the people that got killed in a tragedy, he answered the following, do you suppose that these people from Galilee were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, do you think they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. It says in Luke 13, verses 2 through 5. What is repentance? In the original Greek, metanoesate, translated as repent, means change one's mind, attitude, and purpose. Repentance is reviewing one's actions and feeling contrition or regret for past wrongs, which is accompanied by commitment to actual actions that show and prove a change for the better, says Wikipedia. Why is repentance so important? We are blinded and deafened by, well, everybody does it, so what the heck? Repentance has to start with the individual, with me and with you, as God mainly deals with us on a personal level because the masses will always follow the crowd. He wants to see what you and I will decide and what each individual character is made of. We've got to come to grips with God and to change our personal individual ways. Then we will have the peace of God which passes all understanding and shall keep our heart and mind through Jesus, it says in Philippians 4:7. So that even when everything around us collapses in the natural, we can still have the presence of mind to see how we can lend a helping hand. If we don't want to change, then we will end up disillusioned and defeated personally while collectively creating hell on earth and hell hereafter. It's our choice. When God formed us and breathed into us the breath of life, man became a living soul. With that, he also gave us a free will and the freedom of choice, which he will not overrule. In our choices and our decision-making, we are equal to him. He has purposely bound himself not to override our free will in order to see what choices we would make in our life, whether for good or for bad, and having to reap the result of our choices and what we have sown. Blaming God will not solve any of our problems if we don't want to change our decisions and what they will eventually lead to. As the universe ticks on a precision timetable, so we have arrived at the threshold in time in world history where hundreds of prophetic scriptures are about to be fulfilled. At johnpeters.in, you find leaflets like this on many subjects, from creation, carbon dating, giants, Noah's Ark to Kingdom Come, plus a good study Bible. You can choose from 9 books. Other sites sell the books, but on this site, all downloads are free, so you can pass them on. No strings attached, no cookies, no info requests. I would suggest that next you listen or you read the pamphlet No Cold Callers, please.